The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In Mark's Gospel, encounters with women usually signify turning points in Jesus' ministry. Here, a conversation with a Syrophoenician woman marks the beginning of his mission to the Gentiles. The Gospel reading. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre, and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. All right, well, greetings, boys and girls out there in internet land. And for those of you here today, I'm going to sit a little closer because I have a couple of things that I have to be able to reach. And so I want to talk to you this morning about things that we are good at, and I brought a couple of items to help us think about that. The first one I brought is this. It's a baseball, and I wonder how many of you might be good at baseball. Some of us may be very good baseball players, and some of us not very good at all. So here's something else I brought. Isn't this a beautiful painting? Show it over there. Now, how many of you would say that you are a good artist and could paint a beautiful picture like this? I bet some of you are, and some of you maybe not so much. I wish I could paint a painting like this. I'm not very good at art at all, so that's something that I couldn't do, but perhaps you are good as an artist. The last item I brought is a music book. Now, I imagine that some of you might consider yourselves good at music, playing an instrument or perhaps singing. Well, that's one of the things that I'm fairly good at, singing and playing piano. Some of us are good at music and others not so good. We just read in the gospel lesson from Mark that one day some people brought a man to Jesus who could not hear and could hardly talk. The people begged Jesus to heal their friend. The Bible tells us that Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears and touched his tongue, and then he called out, "Be opened." And as soon as Jesus spoke those words, The man's ears were opened and he could hear, and his tongue was loosed and he could speak. And the people were amazed. They said, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." But then Jesus did something unusual. Do you remember? He told the people not to tell anyone what they had seen him do. Do you think the people followed Jesus' instructions? No, they didn't. They told everyone about this man who did everything well. Jesus has done a great many things and wonderful things for you and for me. But he didn't tell us not to tell anyone, did he? In fact, he told us to spread the news to everyone. So today we ask ourselves, have we told anyone about what Jesus has done for us, whether we speak about that or tell others through our actions? See, that's what today's story is all about. Jesus has done a great many things for us in our lives, and he wants us to share that good news. Let's pray. Jesus, you do all things well. We thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. Help us to share the good news. Amen. All right, well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin this sermon time with a brief prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your presence with us in the beauty of this sanctuary. Thank you for the assurance that you do all things well and that you have done much for us in our lives. Help us to find ways as individuals and as a congregation to share the news of what you have done. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1987, going back a few years, at 1:30 p.m. on January 4th, an Amtrak passenger train traveling on Amtrak's Northeast Corridor main line collided with a set of four Conrail locomotives which had entered that main line unbeknownst to the engineer on the Amtrak train. The passenger train was heading from Washington, D.C. to Boston, Massachusetts, full of students and others returning home after the holidays. The site of the crash was in the community of Chase, Maryland, about 18 miles northeast of Baltimore. The Amtrak train's speed at the time of the collision was about 108 miles an hour. 14 passengers on the Amtrak train were killed, as well as the engineer and the lounge car attendant. About an hour or so after the crash, my friend and colleague, Pastor Mike Adams, who was a son of the congregation that I served as my first call in Baltimore, was called to go to the accident scene. Mike was not only a pastor of a local Lutheran congregation there in the Chase area, but he also served as a volunteer chaplain for the Maryland State Police. Mike tells of climbing through the wreckage to comfort a young man, a 19-year-old student who was severely injured and hanging upside down, trapped in the mangled steel of one of the cars. The young man asked Mike to hold his hand and pray with him. He succumbed to his injuries before he could be removed from the wreckage, but Mike later shared that at one point the young man said to him, "I never thought an outstretched hand could mean so much." Our outstretched hand can mean a lot to someone who is in need. This morning, I want you to imagine what the outstretched hand of Jesus can mean as well. In our gospel lesson, Jesus reached out a hand to touch a man who had been mute and deaf, and it changed his life. But at the same time, the friends of the man reached out their hands together and brought that man to Jesus so that Jesus could have a chance to reach out his hand. So this morning, to get a better understanding of God's grace in our lives, I would like to look closely at the three main characters in this gospel story: the friends, the deaf man, and Jesus. First, the friends. One thing we can say about these friends is that they loved this deaf and mute man. They loved him enough to make a special effort to bring him to Jesus. They loved him enough to forget about their own welfare for a moment so that this man could experience the grace of God. These friends were fulfilling what Paul tells us in Philippians as he says, "Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." And they were looking out for the interest of others, in this case, their friend. They brought him to Jesus. They had a dream for their friend, a dream of something better for him, a dream that his life could enjoy the sounds of God's creation, where he could speak to others in conversation. These friends had a vision, a dream for their friend of a different life, not a life as it was, but life as it could be, as God's grace through Christ was brought to him, who couldn't speak or hear. These friends knew that they had to put this dream into action. They had to bring their friend to Jesus, and they did. But what drove them? How did they know that Jesus could heal their friend? They must have heard Jesus before, and in their hearing, they believed that he could help. They had faith and trust in Jesus. Luther says in a sermon on this text, "Now you here observe the nature of faith which grows out of the Word. For the Word first sets forth to us the mercy and goodness of God. Then faith causes us to cleave unto it with a firm confidence and to obey the Word." See, these friends understood that Jesus was a man sent from God. They trusted him. So they developed this dream for their friend to have Jesus heal him, all because they had faith. Then these friends shared their faith with the deaf and dumb man. They wanted him to obtain his own faith in Jesus. As Luther further says, "Therefore, my faith can help you in that it may assist you to obtain faith of your own." See, the faith of these friends was passed on to this man, which in turn allowed him to stand before Jesus with confidence that Jesus could and would heal him. What do we learn from these friends? Well, I think the major point for us is that as the church, we are like those friends in the world today. As First Lutheran Church, through our partnership with Inspiritus, for example, providing the personal hygiene and household cleaning products, and through our newest partnership, providing office space for Launchpad to aid their work with homeless young adults, we are indeed reaching out a hand to those struggling through the brokenness of this world. We reach out with a hand of faith in the power of Jesus Christ. Through our partnership with the table, we are helping to bring witness to the fact that there is a place in the church for those previously alienated for one reason or another. In the opportunities that you all have in your Monday through Saturday lives to share one-on-one, you are reaching out a hand of tenderness, of kindness, of compassion, of healing to those who are experiencing the burden of suffering in any form, whether it be homelessness or alienation, sickness, broken relationships, whatever. We each have the opportunity to reach out that hand of healing and caring. We are the body of Christ. Friends for all those people in today's world. Friends who have come to know Christ, who have faith in Christ, who are willing to share that faith with others so that they might come to believe. You see, we are the ones who reach out a hand so that others might know the love of Christ. As we discovered nearly 2 years ago now, through our refocusing process, the purpose of the church is to reach out that hand. Now, how about the deaf man? Can you imagine what went through his mind? First of all, he had to believe and trust in his friends. He had to go along with them. The faith had been passed on. Then Jesus beckons to him to come to one side, to be alone with him. And standing there in front of Jesus, the man could feel Jesus touch his ears and place the spittle on his tongue. Then looking at Jesus, he could see him look toward the heavens, then say that funny word, "Ephphatha." And then all sorts of sounds began invading his ears, voices, birds. Can you imagine hearing for the first time? Then knowing that he could speak, what did he say? He looked at Jesus. What were the words that he wanted to use to express his gratitude? What could he say? From his friends, he received the faith to trust in the power of Jesus to heal him, to extend God's grace into his life now through the word and through touch. His life was forever changed. He experienced God's grace in a powerful way. I think the message we get from this character is one of faith, along with the willingness to turn his life over to the hands of Jesus with confidence that Jesus would act. You see, just like he met the man, our Lord meets us at our point of need as well. Be it fear or futility or fatigue or failure or sin or guilt or sorrow or broken relationships, whatever our burden, Jesus meets us with his grace. And now we turn to the final character in our story, Jesus himself. I think the important point for us to notice about Jesus was his concern for the plight of this man. He knew the suffering and he wanted to help. But at the same time, he knew what his mission was all about. So that's why he asked the people, the friends of this man and the man himself, not to tell everyone what had happened. He wanted to show the people as he neared the end of his journey to Jerusalem that miracles were just a small part of his ministry. His mission was to bring salvation to people by way of the cross. Jesus knows our healing is important, but our salvation is essential. Jesus understood the need of this man just as he understands our need. But he also realized the importance of understanding the salvation that he brought by way of the cross. You see, it's not either or, but rather both and, as we look at Jesus' healing and salvation. Jesus shows us very clearly that he wants to be part of our brokenness, to bring a measure of his grace into that brokenness. And he promises to walk with us through the valleys of our lives. In a little town in the mountains of France, there is a shrine famous for its miracles of healing. One day, shortly after the end of World War II, an amputee veteran appeared at the shrine. As he hobbled painfully along the way, someone remarked, "That silly man, does he think God will give him back his leg?" The young veteran overheard the remark and said, "Of course, I do not expect God to give me back my leg. I am going to pray to God to help me to live without it." Yes, Jesus is the Lord of the valleys of life and the way, the truth, and the light to eternal salvation to all who turn their lives over to him. We can be as the friends of the deaf and dumb man, loving the unlovable in such a way that we bring them to Christ with our faith. Then we can be like that man standing in front of Jesus, turning our entire lives over to him. And we remember, not only does Jesus walk with us in the valleys of life and celebrate with us on the mountaintops, but at the same time, he is concerned for our very salvation as he wants us to turn our lives completely over to his power. My friends, as the crowd said over 2,000 years ago, we can say today as well, he has done all things well. He even makes the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us stand as we are able and sing together our hymn of the day.